Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your host from SteelersDepot.com, where you can find all your latest and greatest Steelers news. It's Dave Bryan and Alex Cazora, always Lynn, talking Steelers. And now, here's Dave and Alex.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, Season 14, Episode 102. He's Dave Bryan. I'm Alex Cazora, SteelersDepot.com. Thanks for being back with us here. We'll call it Sunday, Steelers Nation. I assume by the time you listen to this, at whatever time you're listening to this. And Dave, you and I, before we started recording, just had a little joke between you and I. We'll share with you guys. Dave, here we are, you and I, meeting again. Emergency episode of the podcast, as you guys probably anticipated. The big news breaking Saturday evening, the Pittsburgh Steelers making the move to acquire and trade for Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields. Move officially announced Saturday night. So it is a done deal. Fields is in Pittsburgh. So over the last week, Wilson has been signed. Russell Wilson is in. Kenny Pickett is out. Justin Fields is in. I mean, you could have given me a million guesses, Dave, back in March 1st of how this thing would have gone. Never would have come close to a scenario like this.
We meet again, Alex Cazora. Look, if you had this on your, if you had it as a parlay, you probably cashed. Hopefully, you cashed in big time, because there probably should have been some pretty long odds on all these things happening. You have a quarterback in Russell Wilson, who we thought probably not going to be in Pittsburgh. You have a quarterback in Justin Fields that, you know, back in December, I told you no way would he be in Pittsburgh. And you have a guy out of Pittsburgh who, even after Russell Wilson was signed, I thought, you know, would still potentially be in Pittsburgh there. So, man, a lot. I'll tell you this. You cannot accuse Omar Khan of sitting on his hands when it comes to the offseason, particularly at the quarterback position. And you rewind back to what Art Rooney II said in late January about how important improved quarterback play needs to be figured into the pieces of the puzzle, if you will. Forget the exact quote that he used here. Man, they have changed up the pieces of the puzzle for sure. And we don't know how it's all going to work out, but at least I'll tell you what, it's exciting. You have to be excited to at least see how it works out, especially with what we've seen out of the play of the quarterback room, you know, the last several seasons here as well, too. So, man, you know, it's still, you know, I'm afraid to go to the bathroom because I'm afraid, you know, I'm going to miss something here, news break here, and that's not good for an old fart like me, a good practice to have there. But where do you want to start in this? And we'll give our, you know, kind of more extended thoughts on Kenny Pickett and tell you what we know about Justin Fields and the links and the connections and the contracts and all like that.
And Van Jefferson. Everyone's excited about, yeah, Van Jefferson. We're all talking about Van Jefferson. We will talk about him, but a little bit later in the show. Yeah, we have come a long way from the days of, hey, they signed Mike Mitchell. That's exciting. Like, we have come a long ways away from that kind of, you know, decent mid-level type of contract being the talking point of the offseason discussion.
You know, I through this process dating back to December, I've gone from no way in hell they trade for Justin Fields to, okay, maybe they will, to Russell Wilson getting signed to I don't think it's going to happen, to Kenny Pickett getting traded and me thinking, oh, maybe this is going to happen. I mean, that's how crazy this thing has been, at least in my eyes here. And I tell you what, I'm glad the finale of it more than anything is over with here when it comes to a guy like Justin Fields, because we have talked a lot about him and the prospects and will they or won't they and what the compensation is going to be or won't be and all like that. So at least we've got some finality on that.
Although, who the heck knows what's tomorrow it will bring. I mean, just with the way this thing has gone. But yeah, it's almost justice that Fields comes to Pittsburgh, considering how much we talked about him. If he had gone to Atlanta or somewhere else, it would have just felt deflating in a sense. But the details on the Fields deal, and correct me if I get anything wrong, I was in my car when the Fields news broke, nearly crashing my car when the Fields news broke. But my understanding is a 2025, so next year's sixth-round pick. It is a conditional sixth-round pick. It can become a fourth-rounder if Fields plays 51% of the Steelers' offensive snaps in 2024. So regardless, not a pick that will impact next month's draft. It'll be a sixth next year or potentially a four. Am I getting that compensation correct, Dave?
You are correct, sir.
Okay, so that is the deal for Fields. Your reaction off the top, as you said, once Pickett was out the door, I felt like, okay, it's possible for Fields to come in. His market value was not what I think people anticipated, probably not what Chicago was hoping they would get for him. And then Pittsburgh needing a backup quarterback and having the opportunity to get Fields for really pennies on the dollar. And the fifth year option is no longer this, you know, big decision to make. They can decline it if they want to, and there's no really issue with that. So off the top, though, your reaction to the move?
There's no way that you, I don't think there's any way that you can't like it unless you just don't like Fields and his play up to date, which, you know, let's face it. There's a reason he's out in Chicago at this point. There's a reason why he ultimately was traded for what he was traded for there. You're not even giving up a pick in this year's draft. And once again, as you stated, the sixth rounder next year. Look, if he has to play in 2024 and if he has to play more than 51% of the snaps, it's because either Russell Wilson is playing extremely poorly or Russell Wilson has gotten hurt. So that's that aspect of it. I mean, if somebody's going to give you that and it's a guy that you know a lot about, you go all the way back to the 2021 Pro Day and Mike Tomlin, seemingly, you know, being extremely interested in Justin Fields, and obviously they didn't pick, you know, high enough to get him at all. But it, you know, it seems like the interest is there. We wrote about it tonight. The links back to Mark Sadowski, the Steelers, director of player scouting with the Steelers now. He was with the Bears back then when they drafted Justin Fields. So obviously he's done a lot of homework on him already. You have to think that the Steelers have silently been doing their homework on Justin Fields. You know, I don't think this just all of a sudden came up. We're trading Kenny Pickett. Let's start doing our homework on Justin Fields. I mean, this is something that's obviously been, probably talked about to some degree by the organization since last season ended there. So it's a guy they obviously think will fit in the room, a guy that probably fully understands that he's expected to at least be the backup coming in. And you know, you got high pedigree guy once again with extreme athletic ability and mobility. Mike Tomlin likes to talk about that mobility a lot. And once again, it come down, you know, part of the main reason why back in December and all that, I thought no way in the hell this was happening was because of what the expected compensation was for at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at some point during the process, I think it was like a second or a third. And then we got into the talk about, well, will this look like, you know, the Sam Darnold deal when he was dealt off a few years ago? And because of what the compensation, at least speculated that far back, looked like, and because of the fact that the fifth year option was being in play, and because of how he has played up to date, that made it seem, all those parameters made it seem like no way in hell that thing's going to happen. Because if you give up a second or a third round pick, it feels like the onus is really on you to pick up that fifth year option, which, mm-hmm. you know, well over $20 million and fully guaranteed once you do so. So now it has been mighty weird to watch this thing rot away, if you will, on the Bears. And that, I mean, make no mistake about it, that. It feels like that's what has happened here. I still contend that the loose lips of Ryan Poles throughout this process, even though everybody knew it was going to happen. I think he should have left some mystery to it. But regardless, you see all these other quarterbacks now that have been traded prior to, and you know, I know it doesn't seem that long ago at the combine where Ryan Poles said, you know, we hope to get him dealt sooner rather than later and all like that. But so much has happened since then. You had the dominoes fall at the free agent quarterback position. You had the deals go on with Mac Jones, with help me out here.
All the 22 quarterbacks, Pickett, Ritter, Howell are gone or been moved.
Ritter gone, Howell gone. Mac Jones was traded as well too. So, you know, once you know, the landing spots were very few and far between at this point. Now there was a report by Courtney, what's her last name?
Cronin.
That says, you know, there were like five teams, I guess, in addition to Pittsburgh interested mm-hmm. in all, but none of them wanted the compensation that Poles wanted, I guess, right out of the chute, which I think she said was somewhere along the lines of the Sam Darnold deal a few years ago. And I would imagine a few of those teams went other directions since then. And Omar Khan's just sitting there, probably had to use a burner phone on this one. But you know, you just sit and wait and know a team needs to get the guy gone. And, you know, I don't know how you can't take him at that. But that's a long answer to what I think about the deal, but I don't see how you can't do the deal when you need another quarterback in your room. You need one that's got experience. You got one at least with so this. I mean, let's face it. Of all the quarterbacks that have been traded this offseason, objectively, it feels like Fields has the most upside.
Oh yeah, the upside's never been the question. It's been about consistency and, you know, stability and playing smart and evening out has been the question with Justin Fields.
So with that, you know, once again, it you know, it's a six. It might become a fourth. Why not do that deal?
100%. I mean, I think Pittsburgh has been so smart about taking advantage of what I would call pretty unique opportunities. The opportunity to get Russell Wilson for the veteran minimum, which would never otherwise happen had it not been for Denver being on the hook for his 2024 salary. That's a unique opportunity. Yeah, Wilson wanted, you know, 20, 25 billion. He doesn't come to Pittsburgh. That move, I don't think, occurs. And then with Fields, with the Bears holding the first overall pick, which did that come from Carolina? What was their original pick? Chicago's. This is the first pick they have. That's Carolina's selection, correct? Yeah, it has to be because the Bears were much better this year. So you date back to last year when Chicago made that deal with Carolina so the Panthers could have the 2023 draft's top pick to take Bryce Young, which leads them to Caleb Williams, we assume, which leads Fields to being expendable. And with all the other quarterbacks plugging holes, including Wilson going to Pittsburgh, it reduced Fields' market value, and Pittsburgh took the opportunity on getting Fields for the cheap. We do have to acknowledge, because you were right about it, that we had our little test of would Fields be traded by the next time our next live stream came out. And you got there under the gun, but you got there.
That's about the only thing I got right, really.
And I will say the only thing I got right is I said on the live stream there would be some creative financing to get Fields. I think it would have been a 2025, you know, conditional, something to that effect. And then that ultimately played out. Other than that, just totally just shocked by how these moves have come about and how quickly they come about. But again, the unique opportunities to get both guys, I think really, you know, was something for this team to take advantage of. And they definitely did take advantage of it. The bottom line is this, Dave, the 2023 Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback room consisted of Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. 2024 at the least will consist of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Objectively, you are a better quarterback starting team and quarterback room overall than you were a year ago.
I agree wholeheartedly there too. And you got two guys that feel like they want to be in that room too. You got an aging veteran that still has something that wants to show that he can still play and help a team compete for a championship. And you got a very young kid in Justin Fields who probably feels like he's coming out of a situation where there wasn't much stability there, where he was, look, there's bright spots in his 2024 tape. Now, I haven't gone deep into it, but there are bright spots in there. And there were times where it looked like the light bulb was coming on for him. And he's now looking for an organization where he can find a team and maybe have a little patience with him and whatever his ceiling is, hope that he you know, can get him there and maybe even beyond. So he's got a lot to prove as well. And, you know, you got obviously a coach in Mike Tomlin, who's been around the block a few times, and, you know, you got a new offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith, and, you know, another little kind of cute nugget, I guess, if you will, related to this Russell Wilson, Justin Fields being in a room together, is if you roll all the way back to the Justin Fields post selection, you know, initial media press conference with the Bears, he talked about how he models his game after Russell Wilson. So you got kind of the, now you got those two in the room together, and I'm sure he really respects the, or will really take comfort in kind of learning from a guy who's, he admitted that he models his game after. Now they're still, he's still going to compete. He's still going to try to beat the old guy out and all like that. But, and it feels like, Russell Wilson, according to his presser and kind of how he helped the other quarterbacks, I think in Denver, he mentioned the other day, I don't think he's just going to flip the switch on him. You know, I believe there's going to be some tutelage to go along, especially with Russ knowing that, you know, he's the starter here. So that's just another interesting dynamic to this whole thing, is you've got kind of a mentor student type things, and the younger one saying that he modeled his game after the older one,
which is something Fields really has not had before in Chicago. He was almost immediately thrust into that. I mean, he did have Andy Dalton, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. But Wilson, obviously a different caliber of play and just a different resume that you can learn from. And again, Fields became the starter, I think, pretty quickly. When you're sitting on the bench and you're really kind of soaking it in, there's a different way to learn and kind of see someone's approach, as opposed to when you're leading and in charge and just focused on doing your job because you're the guy.
They got sort of the same kind of faults, as some similar faults as well too, so they can learn how to correct them together, you know,
hopefully, or not, or just make each other worse. We'll see. We should note the reporting is, although not confirmed by the team, but multiple reports indicating that Russell Wilson will be the Steelers starter. Fields is here to be the backup. I'm not even hearing the competition language being used. Could something change in camp if something dramatic were to occur? Potentially, but it seems pretty clear that Wilson is the one, Fields is the two. So just to kind of set the stage on that. And you had mentioned a couple of minutes ago that Pittsburgh was doing their homework on Fields, you know, probably more than just a couple of days ago once Pickett left. And you're 100% correct about that. But I would say, and I'm sure the team would as well, Pittsburgh's been doing their homework since 2021. I mean, they were at that Fields Ohio State Pro Day, and the reports were Pittsburgh really liked Justin Fields. It was a year where they had been, and they wanted the run game to get better, and Fields was gone by the time they took Najee Harris and were on the clock. So I would say they probably did the old dust off the scouting report and talked to Sadowski and did their homework this offseason. And those combination of factors led them to targeting Fields. And of course, you can't beat that kind of price.
Yeah, they just Omar Khan played a great game of poker, and you know, they held the cards to their vest probably as best as they could. And he probably said, Hey Ryan, when you're ready to do the deal, call me. I imagine it got to that because of the way it's been wild to watch all of this, what's happened with these quarterbacks and the market value, and then you turn around and you know, I guess there's still the other Wilson in with the Jets. Be interesting to see what happens. Zach Wilson, see what happens with him.
Maybe he comes to Pittsburgh as the third stringer at this point. Say no to anything.
Who knows? But it's been crazy to watch this. And once again, it feels like we have watched. Look, I never thought maybe his market value was as high as it people maybe were talking back in January, talking about Fields there. But I would have lost more money telling you that it would come down to a conditional six-round pick in 2025. I mean, that's how that thing rotted away on the Chicago tree.
Right, and that's why the fifth-year option concerns that you had brought up in December, which were valid when we were thinking, okay, this guy's going to fetch a second, third-round pick, they're no longer concerns. Now, I don't want to get maybe too much into the weeds, but they have to, they're not going to pick up this option on Fields, or do you think that's in play right now?
Man, the way this offseason has gone, the unpredictability of it, I'll say this. I wouldn't expect them to, because once again, you talk about well over $20 million and it's fully guaranteed. And, it would be one thing, man. I don't know if Omar Khan, if you got a crystal ball and can kind of look into, it's too bad that this decision can't be put off, you know,
sure.
But you have to go off of what you have right now because the decision's due in early May. You know, when it comes to that, then there's no, you know, you either pick it up or you don't. And then that is that. Now, one thing I did include in my post when talking about the salary cap ramifications and all like that is the fact that, you know, even if they don't pick up the option, you know, there is the ability to at any point moving forward, sign him to an extension. But would Fields be open to that? They have a little bit of leverage here, the Steelers with Fields, because of the fact that he's not guaranteed, you know, at least not right now. It doesn't feel like it. He's not guaranteed to play a single snap, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, obviously quarterback injuries happen and whatnot. You can't say that emphatically there, but you know, if things go like they probably hope that they go with Russell Wilson, then he's probably not going to see a lot of playing time. So that doesn't give Fields a lot of confidence. Fields would have to gamble and say, look, if I don't take maybe this modest deal that the Steelers have out here, maybe it's just for one additional year. Maybe they can talk him into this year and next year and say, look, this will give us, you know, an opportunity to get the best out of you, to develop you, have you in a secure environment. You know, maybe you'll see some playing time. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the starter in 2025. And then, you know, you're still young enough. You can take, if need be, you can take a bite of the apple after the 2025 season there. That's the way I think I would approach it if I'm Omar Khan at this point. You know, and I don't know what that would look like. You know, obviously it wouldn't be a huge average per year extension. And obviously there wouldn't be a lot of guaranteed money in it, but maybe you can make it a tight enticing enough in guaranteed money up front, make it more than he's going to earn, maybe even double what he's going to earn this year, which is over $3 million in signing bonus and base salary. That way he fattens his pocket up a little bit. And you're essentially buying that extra year off of him. That's the way I think I would attack it with him at this point moving forward. And I guess the only part of it, you can attack it any way you want, negotiation wise. You know, the player and the player's agent still got to agree to it. But I think that's the way that maybe the Steelers should approach this instead of picking up the fifth year option.
That makes sense. I mean, even, you know, worst case, you don't pick up the option and you go into the 2025 offseason, those couple weeks before the new league year opens up with Wilson and Fields on expiring contracts. Odds are, with the benefit of the information you'll gain during the season of who played well, who didn't play well, who played at all, you'll be able to probably re-sign one of those guys if you want to. You know, whether that's Fields or Wilson, we'll just have to see. But there are some options now. Again, my guess, and we're all kind of just guessing, and who the heck knows, but I don't think they pick up the option because, you know, he's your backup. And, you know, if it was under the old model of the non-fully, you know, guaranteed at signing, then maybe you do that. There's more of a conversation, but I don't think they're going to do that. They're going to kind of just let the season play out and go from there. Also reporting from Jerry Dulac, that's indicating the team has interest in extending Wilson after this season on the one-year deal for the minimum right now. So that may be their plan A, but I think you probably just go through the season, see how each guy looks, and if Wilson doesn't, if he gets hurt, if Fields has an opportunity, and evaluate the two quarterbacks going into 2025.
Now let me play devil's advocate to our to ourselves here. Let me at least just look because sometimes I don't think you know I think this offseason is a good testament to us and our analysis of trying to force ourselves to look at the other side of things as much and as unlikely as maybe what it appears to be. On objects in the rearview mirror don't appear may appear closer than what they are, right? Sure. So Meatloaf had a great song about that off one of his albums a few years ago as well, and obviously you can read that statement written in your own rearview mirror. But let's play devil's advocate to our own analysis right there. What say you did pick up the fifth year option this year at, let's see, it would be exactly $25.664 million. And then you add on to that what he's going to earn this year, which is 3.233, a little bit more than 3.233 million. That gives you a total of almost 30 million, I guess. It'd be 28. About almost 29 million, I guess, right around in there. Now, if you divide that by 2 years, you're talking about what, 14 and a half million, if you want to look at it that way. And then obviously that secures your, you know, at least one quarterback up for now. It's a hell of a damn price to pay next year on paper if that guy isn't your starting quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But, if you wanted to look at it that way, you know, I guess you could look at it as, you know, it would be 14 and a half million per year over 2 years for a guy that you are saying or are investing in, getting him to become a franchise quarterback. And then obviously after the 2025 season, if he had played with you under that, how he played in 2020 or how he played in 2025 would determine whether or not you franchise tag him.
Sure, I get the point, but I think, and I know you're just playing devil's advocate, and that's been the smarter man of the entire offseason is a devil's advocate the other side of this thing. But I think if you do that with Fields on the picking up the fifth year option, you're cementing him as your starter for 2025. And I think with maybe appetite to see where things go with Wilson,
see him this year, you know?
Right, right. It'd be, you know, potentially a total unknown. And what if Wilson has an amazing season and then you have Fields on the fifth year option and then you're just kind of stuck with that, you know, his market value is not strong. So one piece of good news, while you're right, it'd be nice if Pittsburgh could wave a magic wand and wait on that decision, but it will come by May 2nd. And so we will know within 6 weeks what Pittsburgh's decision is on Fields and, of course, on Najee Harris, who we expect to have that fifth year option accepted.
I guess the only other add-on I would have to say when you're talking about that, and I haven't looked far enough ahead of what the Steelers' cash situation is, and remind everybody, cash and cap are two different things. You know, who do they have to pay next year? And obviously the cap going to go up again. And if they stay on track, come somewhere close to, you know, the cash spending that I think they'll do, the percentage of the cap this year, next year might have to be a makeup year. And where else, you know, obviously you could go free agency and spend the cash that way on a quarterback. You know, it's just one other layer that we don't know the exact details to and how it might play into the whole 3 year plan with this team and all like that, you know, and maybe they think, look, we got to spend the cash. You know, who would be up for extensions after this season, assuming they get a guy like Freiermuth done this offseason? Who could you envision next offseason being you know, TJ Watt, maybe?
Maybe. I really truly have given little thought to it. With George Pickens, he'd be eligible for an extension after his third year, correct?
Right, right.
So there's him. You got James Daniels' expiring contract. He'll be a free agent after the 2024 season. I'm sure there are others that aren't coming to mind right now, but those are a couple of names.
I'm not advocating. I'm just trying to make sure we look at all angles here. At its core, do I think that they're going to pick up his fifth-year option, especially only giving up a conditional six-round draft pick in 2025? No, but I just wanted to try to look at all angles of this thing, especially with all the unpredictability that has happened so far.
I think one thing that's also driving Pittsburgh to make these, by their standards, radical shifts is the, and I've mentioned this before, and it's, I think, obvious, and everyone feels it inside, outside that building, the frustration and angst and maybe even some tension for not winning a playoff game in 7 years. They just... Right. I mean, I think that is a very real thing that is driving this team. They're always in a win now mode. Of course, Pittsburgh always rebuilds, never reloads. But I think even more so when you hear it from the owner of saying, okay, like, this has got to stop. What was Rooney's phrase earlier this year about the playoff drought? I forget what his exact wording was, but it was something to that effect of expressing clear frustration for how this drought and streak has gone
We are getting impatient. Mm.
And when you get impatient, you start making some moves. And what Pittsburgh has been able to walk, I think, a good line of is making moves, but not overreacting or being reckless. Again, taking advantage of unique opportunities to get Wilson at $1.2 million, to get Fields for a conditional six-round pick next year. Lanes that typically aren't available for quarterbacks in a given offseason. So I think a combination of all those factors is making Pittsburgh do things they normally do not do.
We've had enough of this. It's time to get some wins. It's time to take these next steps. I think there's some urgency here for sure.
Yeah. I mean, when you hear that from the owner, I mean, that's putting your thumb on the scale of, okay, we got to make some changes. And you couple that with Rooney's comment about needing to improve quarterback play. They did. They just changed out all the quarterbacks.
Right. And look, I mean, as we've talked about, look, I don't care how this – I don't care how this – I mean, I care, but, you know, as far as the 2024 season goes, we've talked about it ain't going to go anywhere unless they get better quarterback play. And at least they have done something here, and they've done radical something as well. So to me, you know, I don't know – I obviously don't know how this is going to play out. You know, but at least they have made significant effort to change that quarterback room to give them something else. Well, Alex, well, we're going to be looking at totally different tape this year, and that's exciting in and of itself. You know, a totally different offense. You know, they expect them to put the ball in the end zone more through the air. Those kind of things there, but at least this urgency has translated into them doing some of the things that go against Blue's Clues. And Dave and Alex think, you know, it ain't going to go. It would, you know, historically they don't do that. You know, mm-hmm. they have, you know, kudos to them doing something. And I think, I think people should at least take comfort in that, because they did have to do something, especially in that quarterback room.
Absolutely. And to be fair, a lot of the reporting was indicating they weren't making these moves. There was literally a report 2-3 weeks ago that said they're not going after Kirk Cousins. They're not going after Russell Wilson. They're not going after Justin Fields. And they got two of the three. Unpredictable the way that it came about. But bottom line is those moves occurred. So we were, you know, partially, I think, influenced by that aspect. But you had said something, and again, I agree, they're radical changes, but just to really reiterate, they are not reckless changes. You've seen teams make some really bad decisions when it comes to quarterback desperation. Talk about Jimmy Garoppolo getting way too much money from the Raiders and the 49ers, for that matter, probably at some point. The Niners trading up for Trey Lance and kind of felt like a panic. They weren't sure who they were going to take, pivoted to Lance last second. They saved themselves with Brock Purdy, but still obviously missed on Lance. If these moves hypothetically don't work out, what does it cost you? Wilson, it's cost you $1.2 million in Fields. It's cost you, if it doesn't work out, 3.2 and a conditional 6th-round pick at worst, a conditional 4th-round pick next year. So the risk is low and the upside is huge. And for the quarterback position, that's where you want to be.
Yeah, and especially when you're in, you know, the situation that they're in, where, you know, there is the, still the cash and cap to continue. You don't want to extremely mortgage the entire future when it comes to cap in the process of taking a shot at a different, you know, more expensive veteran, you know, kind of guy, especially one like Cousins, who's got, you know, is a good quarterback, was coming off Achilles, and he's up there in age as well. There wasn't too many shots this team could have even taken at quarterback. It doesn't feel like, and once again, you get two in the room under $5 million, and one is a former Super Bowl winner who's, you know, had a nice TD to interception ratio last year, and one's a guy that has definitely not lived up to first round expectations, but has had his moments on tape that make you raise your eyebrows at least to wonder if maybe you can fix him.
Yeah, I mean, you had alternatives. You could have paid, hypothetically, Kirk Cousins a boatload of money, and he's the better quarterback than I think Wilson or Fields, but you're tied up financially for multi-years, and he's older and coming off the injury and not a great scheme fit from the mobility aspect. You could have paid Gardner Minshew what he got paid by the Raiders, but which would you rather have, those options or the Wilson-Fields combination where, yeah, again, if it doesn't work out, you draft a quarterback in 2025. But had you stayed status quo and gone with, okay, Kenny Pickett versus Mason Rudolph or Ryan Tannehill, odds are you're probably drafting a quarterback in 2025. But this one with Wilson and Fields gives you a much higher ceiling to have at least serviceable and quote unquote normal quarterback play in terms of production, getting 20-25 touchdowns, which feel like just perfect for Pittsburgh, what they need right now. So from that aspect,
especially coming off of blowing your 2022 first round draft pick. You know,
taking
the swing at the quarterback and missing, you know.
And then quickly moving on and finding hopefully better options. But again, I would just frame these as radical, yes, but reckless, no. And to do that twice with Wilson and Fields doesn't happen too often.
That's a much better bumper sticker. Radical, yes, reckless, no.
It's in my Tinder profile. That's okay. How I call myself. I should add that. I'm going to write that down, though. Yeah. No one take that. Dave, don't take that. That's mine. It's copyrighted Alex's.
Get that tattooed.
Yeah.
Mine was reckless, yes. Radical, yes. Oh,
yes, yes, yes. Yes, absolutely. Man, it is late. It is 11:35 here, so that's we're in a mood
probably,
right now.
Probably sound drunk. I don't know if we surprisingly, the podcast the other night went over, I think, well, if you can believe it. But anyway, where to from now? Because we got to get this done.
Yeah, I mean, with Fields, again, we got to watch him more. You know, the highs are high. The mobility's electric. He did seem to improve as a passer. Still has to work on from the pocket. And, yeah, the issue with Fields was just so many negative plays. It was so up and down. I mean, the interceptions were high. The sacks were high. The fumbles were high. And so, I mean, Pittsburgh's mantra, and things may change. Obviously, things have changed a lot so far, but has been more about taking care of the football, being smart, not harming ourselves, trust our defense to make plays, keep the score down. Again, I think your expectations will be higher this year when you make the moves that they've made so far. But for Fields, he has to not ride the roller coaster as much as he has. And I saw the stat on SportsCenter, and you had alluded to it earlier, the two most sacked quarterbacks the last 2 years are Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Wilson 100 times, Fields 99 times, in part due to their mobility and probably some offensive line issues as well. But just trying to even out their play and clean up the negative for Fields especially will be key.
Man, his highs are high. I mean, he offers you some really high electric plays, both with his arm and with his legs, obviously. But like, you know, I like how you put it there. I mean, it's they got to get him off the roller coaster where his lows aren't so low. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, He's got to start trusting his offensive line more. But look, both of them do. Well, once again, it goes back to what we said earlier. Both of these guys have kind of similar faults to them in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields can bail on some pockets at times. Other times they try to do too much maybe in the scrambling system. Hopefully with Arthur Smith's offense, you can get them to play you can take the boy out of trailer park, but you can't take the trailer park out of the boy sometimes. And mm-hmm. but as best as they can do that, they need to try to do that and get the ball out of the hand quick with both these guys. Try to keep them playing within structure as best as possible. And the way you do that is what? You run the football, you put them under center, you have play action, you stay ahead of the chains, you try to protect them as much as you can. You try to use the mobility of both of them as best as you can. And that it's up to Arthur Smith now to and the rest of the coaching staff to figure all that out there, because these guys have got to be reined in and it's not going to be easy. But if you can get these guys to play in a run first offense in structure more and on time, it's going to help both of them.
For sure. You talk about,
he's got the arm strength, man. He can sling the football.
And Wilson's arm, to me, I watched the tape. I was really impressed. His arm is still very lively, very active.
And it goes without saying, man, you look at that, some of the runs that Justin Fields has had, man, it's incredible. I mean, the electricity he has with the ball in his hands when he's on the move.
Which Pittsburgh hasn't had since Cordell Stewart, essentially. And we all kind of feel like Stewart was wrong place, wrong era. You know, had he played today, probably would have been even more effective. But the way that teams defend the run when Justin Fields is on the field is different. You know, Pittsburgh knows that when they face Lamar, how they have to mesh charge and change up, you know, scrape and just do different things to defend the quarterback run element, and how they cover will be different. You might see more zone coverage because they want to get eyes on the quarterback. So if he starts scrambling and taking off, your back's not to the ball. And so there are going to be some tangible benefits that Fields brings beyond just his ability to run and create and get yardage with his legs when nothing's there, which will be unique to Pittsburgh. And I'm really excited to watch, especially in the preseason. The summer should be a lot of fun in training camp in the preseason watching these two guys. But yeah, I mean, just to kind of go hand in hand with the high sack rates is, I know the number, you know, last year, two of the three quarterbacks who had the longest snap to throw times was Wilson at 3 seconds flat and Fields at 3.03 seconds. And so, can you bring that number down some? Listen, they're still going to be who they are. They're not going to be changed dramatically, but can you just tweak some things and be smarter in some moments and reduce that negativity by 20%? Let's say if you can do that, you got something.
And you don't want to totally remove out of them what they are either. So there's a delicate balance within there of, you know, things that you want to do with them. Yeah. Look, I mean, the sack rates way too high. The silly plays and the fumbles and those kind of things. You know, you gotta reel those in. Get the ceiling up on the lows with both of them would be a huge start alone. And then once again, you know, if you're able to run the football and then put less onus, where you're not having those guys drop back, you know, 45 times a game, should make a difference as well there. So look, we're going to find out how good of a total entire coaching staff this team has on the offensive side of the ball this year. And they always say too that, you know, good offensive coordinators mesh what they want to do with the abilities of the players on offense. But there's still some elements at its core with Arthur Smith that you definitely expect to see in this thing, and how can they mesh all those together?
You talk about who is the most important man in Pittsburgh right now. It might be Arthur Smith to make all this work and to figure all this out. And it's going to be on him to find that sweet spot and blend whatever this offense looks like in totality, which we'll still see changes in the draft is to come. And we know a receiver's coming at some point, probably early in the draft. Maybe somebody else gets signed here along the way. So it's up to him to make this thing go.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, I don't see how you can't be exciting just to, see how all this plays out now.
Yeah, again, Pittsburgh going big. I mean, that is, there's no question that Omar Khan is trying to make this his team and put it in his vision and go for it. And again, if it doesn't work out, I don't think you're in a dramatically different spot than you would have been had you stuck with the status quo. I mean, I really don't think the outcome of the season is going to be tremendously worse than what it would have been had you just gone with Pickett and Rudolph or whatever veteran you wanted to sign. But the upside about how much better you can get is very much real.
Yeah, man, if they can score some points, they might win a couple more games. They might even win a playoff game.
How about that? Any other final thoughts? Again, we'll have a lot of reactions to this. I'm assuming we'll probably still do a Monday show and kind of get some more thoughts and watch some more tape on the guy. But I think that's kind of a good primer on Justin Fields.
Sure, on short notice like this. I think we've hit the whole field situation pretty good here.
Thinking about the Steelers' trade of Kenny Pickett to Philadelphia, which is still a weird thing to say, considering I would have never guessed it a week ago, let alone, you know, a year ago or when Kenny Pickett got drafted back in 2022 as the guy, as the future franchise replacement for Big Ben. Because things have gone just been so busy, I don't have a lot of terribly new thoughts on what will be the story of Kenny Pickett. There's been more reporting about, you know, some more negative things that Pickett felt misled. I'm not sure if we covered that in the last episode, but he felt misled. Pickett did that Wilson was going to be the starter for OTAs and, you know, Pickett wasn't going to be. And then Jerry Dulac had a report that Pickett canceled an offsite workout with wide receivers once Wilson signed. Have your thoughts on the Pickett era, or some people are saying, changed 48 hours later?
I mean, some of the reports that you're seeing it sounds like he wanted out of there, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And it's – I don't know what's true and what's not true, but it's – I think it's – at least from what we think that we know, it feels like it's a bad reflection on him, you know? And it feels like the intention – maybe initially once Russell Wilson was brought in was not to get rid of him, but maybe everything that's happened since then kind of forced their hand with the, we want volunteers, not hostages type thing. And it's okay. You want out of here? All right. Go ahead and follow Deontay out the door or whatnot. You know, it sort of feels like they don't want any distractions going on with this team. And if he wasn't mature enough to, because look, so many, look at the quarterback situations around the league. So much happens with injuries and all. And mm-hmm. heck, the Steelers had their number three playing last year and all. You know, fight for your job, you know, but it feels like he wanted out. Is at least my initial take on that. And it feels like this happened kind of in a hurry here. Cause once again, I thought that once Russell was there, that those are going to be your two quarterbacks there. Russell obviously being your starter and Kenny Pickett being your backup. And it feels like the worm just turned. I wonder if he left, Russell Wilson on red. What did the kid say? Leave him on red. Russell said he texted mm-hmm. him. He didn't say whether or not he got a text back or not like that. But I don't know. That's from what I think that I know right now. That's sort of my take on it.
I think you're right. I mean, I think certainly it was a Pickett-driven move out of the city. I don't think Pittsburgh, after signing Wilson, said, okay, let's go actively seek out a trade to give away and trade away Kenny Pickett. But Pittsburgh's mantra, as you said, is if you want out, you're out. We're not gonna hold you hostage. And a lot of the language, and I'm again kind of forgetting exactly what Tomlin had said in his year-end press conference, but talked about that, hey, we're going to do some things differently. I think it was referencing culture and locker room and attitude, and which clearly felt like issues in 2023. Now, no one expected that would be Kenny Pickett being part of that conversation. Maybe that's what Tomlin was in part referencing at the time. I don't know. But I think trying to have a more unified locker room is going to be another benefit. Hopefully, of course, winning unifies everything. But I think that's the intent is for Pittsburgh of, okay, Deontay did not seem happy. We're going to move him. Kenny's not happy. Okay, we're going to move you. We're not keeping guys. So you feel like they may be energy drainers at the least in our locker room.
Yeah, and now he goes to Philly and has to be a backup.
Yeah, that is the curious part. In Pittsburgh, in theory, he could have been competing. I think Pittsburgh still would have framed it that way. I think Pickett understandably realized, yeah, they might frame it that way, but Wilson's the QB1 to start. My job is lost unless something big would have happened, probably if Wilson were to get hurt. But he's going to Philadelphia where he'll be the true backup to Jalen Hurts. So you're going from somewhere where you, in theory, could compete to somewhere where you are the clear backup. But again, I think Pickett's mindset is, I'm just tired of this place. I felt misled multiple times over the last couple of months, dating back to the end of last year, trying to get healthy off the ankle sprain. Right or wrong, I'm not saying he is, but I think that's his mentality of, I just don't want to be here anymore.
Here's the thing, too. Even if Pickett was, you know, a model teammate here throughout all this, nothing still would have prevented the Steelers from making this move with Justin Fields. Nothing.
Do you think, though, they would have? That's a dangerous question to ask at this point. I know.
That's super dangerous at this point. I don't know. I'm comfortable in saying I don't know at this point. But look, I mean, you're only talking about, you know, $3.2 million salary. And I don't care how many quarterbacks you have in a room, you know, I mean, you still need it. The only thing certain I think we have been right on at this point at the quarterback position is they're going to take four to camp. They obviously had two at a time with Russell and Wilson and Kenny Pickett, but not, you know, they still needed two more in that room. And who's to say that Ryan Poles still didn't get to this same spot where he has to dump him for a conditional sixth. And if he does that, you've got to take him off your hands, especially that, you know, kind of what you know about him and the history. So no, I don't know for sure whether or not that wouldn't have been the case. And you want to talk, he would have really been mad then.
And hypothetically, let's say Pickett was still a Steeler and they just made this move for Fields. Good on Pittsburgh. It's still cheap. It's a great 1-2-3 quarterback room, competition everywhere. I mean, I would have had no problem if Pittsburgh had done that and still kept Kenny Pickett.
And look, you like you said, you could have still had all this quote unquote frame competition. And if Fields beat out Pickett during the preseason and a team got in a pinch right before the season, you could have still traded Pickett.
Yeah, or, you know, putting Pickett's feelings aside, his unhappiness, but if you want to keep all three, Pittsburgh loved keeping their three quarterbacks last year the year before, Pickett and Trubisky and Rudolph, because, again, you may need all three quarterbacks. The Browns started five of them last year. The Bengals were without Burrow for their home stretch. Lamar's been hurt in multiple seasons, and he was healthy last year, and they win the AFC because of it. So I think, you know, Pittsburgh is acutely aware of quarterback depth, and obviously now Pickett's gone. You have Wilson and Fields, who will be the number three. Could be a late round draft pick, could be a low level free agent. We'll see, but I think Pittsburgh will keep searching.
I'm still amazed we got to where we got right now.
How can you not? I mean, I had the article late Saturday night, and I don't think it's hyperbole or prisoner of the moment. This is the wildest offseason. It's doing laps around whatever is second place for the craziest Steelers offseason. I mean, I've just never seen moves like this in such quick order that have just changed the scope and the feeling of this team so almost instantaneously.
One of us needs to tweet out real quick that a podcast is on the way. You do that real quick.
That's a good call.
Because it's going to be a little bit after midnight here. Just for everybody's time of reference right now, it's 11:51 Eastern time at this point while Alex is doing that. Just trying to give people a heads up on Twitter that might be waiting for an emergency, you know, a podcast here. So, and then we'll, I don't know, we've probably got about, what, 10, 15, 20 minutes left here to finish up. I think we're pretty much done with the Pickett thing, right? I mean, we'll obviously be talking about that for most of the offseason as well.
Yeah, do you think will Fields have a press conference this week? Do you think they're going to go that route, or do you think they're just going to go low key on him?
I would hope they would.
I hope so too. I'd like to hear from him. Wouldn't shock me either way.
I think he's good with the media, from what I've seen in past press conferences. He's got to be excited as hell, man.
Yeah, and if he knows he's the backup and he's been told that, and he's happy to come here, and it seems like he certainly is, then yeah, put him in front of the media. I mean, I got no problem with that. Just curious to see how that goes. And of course, Pickett will talk to the media at some time in Philadelphia. Don't know when that'll be. Don't think they're going to hold a press conference for him, but that'll, of course, be something we'll all be watching.
Absolutely.
All right, Dave, to round things out, Van Jefferson, wide receiver, getting signed to a one-year deal, reportedly the Arthur Smith connection ringing true, coming over from Atlanta. He was traded from the Rams to the Falcons midway through the 2023 season. It's really a reserve, played a decent amount of snaps, but was pretty uninvolved in the passing game. I had a film room breakdown on Jefferson go up Saturday morning. You know, to me, the tape overall, a lot of empty routes. I wasn't drawing a lot of conclusions from watching, you know, multiple games on Van Jefferson. He was more prolific and a downfield threat earlier in his career, showed some speed and made some plays for the Rams. The last two seasons, especially 2023, have been quiet. He's been more underneath hitch routes. You know, it's not, bottom line is this is a move that's not moving the needle, not much, if at all.
I would expect that they said it's a 1 year deal. I would expect this to be a veteran benefit contract with the minimum, you know, signing bonus to go along with that. If it's not that, it's not going to be too far from it. In other words, it's not going to be a huge cap hit overall here. Guy that we sort of did a flyby on at some point, one of these last couple of podcasts here, maybe because of him having the link to Arthur Smith and all like that, that, you know, maybe this could be another body to throw in a room, especially on the heels of them, you know, trading away Deontay Johnson and all like that. The plus here is you got a guy that's familiar with Arthur Smith that can help teach maybe some of the things, and this is a good kid. He's got the NFL bloodline there. He's got pedigree to him. What was he, former second rounder, right? With the Rams. Guy that we talked a little bit about heading up to that draft. I was not huge on him, but I didn't hate his him coming out either. But I mean, I think we had a couple of discussions about you and liking his upside.
I truly don't remember, but I believe you. He certainly was, you know, a second round guy from a big school. So there probably was some good tape. I know he was known as a blocker. He's got some size. And so those things fit with the Smith system. But, you know, to me, we're talking number four, number five receiver. He doesn't have special teams value, which right. Really dings him. I don't know where he fits, but again, some comfort, just him knowing the Smith offense can't hurt. But all of that is to say, especially given how active Omar Khan has been, this should not prevent them from signing another veteran receiver, right. And certainly should not prevent them from drafting a receiver early come April.
Right. And he is not guaranteed a 53-man roster spot. He's going to have to earn every bit of it and more, especially with the fact that he, you know, I think he played something like 105 snaps on special teams his rookie season. Mm-hmm. And like since then, he's got like six or seven, I think.
And zero last year. Now, some of that was because he was seeing a more offensive role with the Rams in 2020, I think, and some of 2021. He's not Miles Boykin. So let's just put it that way. He's not going to wear that kind of hat.
Right. This team still has cap room. They can still go out and get another receiver here. They can still draft another wide receiver. You've got a familiarity aspect to Van, who, you know, look, I mean, early, you know, first couple of years weren't awful, especially I think his second season with the Rams, caught 50 balls, 802 yards of what do you have, five touchdowns or something that year along those lines there. So, you know, he's played some games in the NFL as well, too. He's more on the physical side of things as well. So he's going to have to earn a spot, plain and simple. But it gives you an experienced guy in that room and a guy that knows what's going on with Arthur Smith.
Exactly. Well said, Dave. Any other final thoughts here from all that we've covered? Fields, Pickett, Jefferson. If there's maybe a one reader email that happens to stick out as really intriguing, go for it. If not, we can certainly table things and we'll have the Monday podcast and the Monday live stream, which I can only imagine how that'll go, but it'll be a lot of fun.
All right, let's go to let's see here. I'll tell you what we'll go totally different because a couple in here about Fields and Pickett and all like that. Dante Bisogne writes in, I've heard you guys have discussions about how hard it's been to find quality defensive linemen that fit the Steelers' scheme. Do you guys think this trend continues, or is this cyclical? And if it's harder and harder to find players and that size length benchmarks the Steelers look for, does it mean the scheme is more flawed? Meaning, are they passing over more talented players for less talented players that happen to meet these size standards? I know you can't fit a round peg in a square hole. I just want to know your thoughts on this. Thank you for all your hard work. Dante, I think, and was it LeBeau or somebody talked about this one time, and I think Kevin Colbert, for years, you know, the Steelers, you know, playing the kind of defense that they played, you know, with the odd front and all, and because a lot of teams for a long time were playing kind of that 4-3 and all like that, it made the kind of player that the Steelers look for with that 6'5", 295, 302, with the long arms, a more likely landing spot, because the demand wasn't, I don't think, as high back then. I think what all this is now is there is more of a demand for those kind of players, especially one with the long arms. It's just that the planet theory is the planet theory, and there's only so many guys that are the 6'5", 292 to 304 that move well, that mm-hmm. have the long, you know, have the long arms, kind of thing. I just think it's just the genetics, you know, and then there's more teams obviously in play now for those kind of players. So, I think it's just mostly the supply issue aspect of this. Now, I've said several times, you know, over the years, look, when those Senior Bowl measurables come out, what's the first thing we run for? Where's the 6'5", 292, 304 guy, you know, with the long arms there? But, you know, have they traded up for Loudermilk, right? Because he fit, because he fit that type that they look for there. I have kind of, you know, and it's a question worth begging to be, you know, answered there is, you know, have they been too stuck on the prototype versus the tape? You know, can a 6'2", 295 or 290 player with 35 inch arms fit the bill just as easily?
It's a fair question. And since we're evaluating all that we thought we knew about quarterback, we should probably do it for other positions. And you see them bring in reportedly, or will bring in, Braden Fisk from Florida State, who's got 31 and a half inch arms. You wonder, okay, how does this guy fit? Maybe that model's changing. I've said before that I think one issue about why it's even harder to find those defensive ends, the guys that check the height, weight, length box, is because the college game, these guys have gotten smaller, gotten faster. The D tackles, because it used to be you take the 4-3 D tackle, kick them out to 3-4 and play 5 tech. Right. But the 4-3 D tackles in the college game today, they're 280 pounds. They're 6'2", 280. They run 4-7, and they got 32 and a half inch arms because they're getting upfield to penetrating. They're needing to corral these scrambling quarterbacks, defend the horizontal game, RPO good game, point. Screen game. And so it's harder to find some of those types of guys. But having said that, there are still some of those guys. There just aren't many of them. Ruka Horahora from Clemson, Mason Smith from LSU, Gabe Hall from Baylor. There are those guys. So in theory, if you can insulate yourself from the draft and not have a ton of needs, and Pittsburgh still certainly has some, but you can still find that guy. There's just only a handful of them, and you got to get them before they're gone.
Yeah, look, we talked about the tackle at, what was it, Washington, with the a little bit shorter. You know, is the NFL getting more forgiving to these guys that don't fit the perfect measurables related to can they play?
Right. You don't want to. That's the bottom line: is can they play? What does the tape say?
I mean, and Braden Fisk out of Florida State, I mean, he has done nothing wrong from what I've seen throughout this entire, you know, from his season last year at Florida State through the All-Star game to the combine. He has done nothing wrong. But you know, the 31 inch arms and a 76 and three quarter inch wingspan stick out on him? And is that going to be enough to move some teams away from him?
Yeah, I mean, if they, you know, if they go that route, I'd still be skeptical because that length is still valuable. You need some size to play the end, and we just haven't seen the guys. Even Loudermilk isn't a perfect fit because he lacked the length, and you've seen him as he, in part due to struggle because he's probably too tall and plays too upright and doesn't have the length. He's like 32 and a half inch arms, but he was a, you know, run stuffer at Wisconsin, and he felt like, okay, you can project that. But we'll see. Again, we're in a new world right now, Dave. It's a brave new world, and so our assumptions sometimes may have to be challenged and evaluated.
And look, we'll still have the same what the Steelers look for post, but we'll have to see how far outside they end up going out of that. We're still going to do what we do because that's what the historical aspect of it is, and if they move, then we move.
Right, and it is a new GM, and it's half the scouting staff is new. I mean, that's a literal. There's like eight new, you know, members of the front office slash scouting department, including a Mark Sadowski, who we think probably had influence in the field straight and at least somebody that was really talked to and leaned upon to find out more about this guy. So, you know, I mean, you know, I will say this patch draft, the first class was pretty much to a T what we expected. I think more so than ever, we kind of had this one figured out. So we'll see if things change, but we'll tell you where things are at right now.
I tell you, that old Jim Mora presser clip from many moons ago started making the rounds again. The one where he says, "You think you know, but you don't know." Mm. You know, it's a very entertaining, I don't know, a 3-4 minute rant that he had to the media way back when, of saying, you know, if you're on the outside, you think you know, talking about how a guy played, and you know, you think he played good and he didn't play good, and you think he played bad, he didn't play bad. You thought this play worked and it didn't, you know, it didn't run. You know, you don't know. And as much as we, you know, as close as we follow this team and try to think that we know, you don't know what goes on in between those four walls. You just don't know. None of us, except for those people inside those four walls, know what's going on there. And look, I mean, you want to, what has happened just here in the quarterback room alone and this offseason so far, you know, with Deontay and all, you don't know. You think you know, but you don't know. So, but it doesn't stop us from still trying to evaluate what we think we know in order to find out what we don't know, really.
Yeah, I mean, history is what we can go off of. But as you've said before, the only thing that stays the same is change. Things change, things evolve, and Pittsburgh clearly is. Not to veer into kind of almost a quasi-political reference, but to kind of go off your Jim Mora, whenever I think about something like that, I think about Donald Rumsfeld, who said something, there are no knowns, there are known unknowns, and there are unknown unknowns. And the latter being the things that you don't know that you don't know. And you know, the off seasons like this are examples of that in Pittsburgh. Just now, things that you just don't know that you don't know.
And knowing that, I mean, does that make our job any less fun or entertaining or challenging? You know, look, I enjoy
I'm having a blast. I mean, it's like I've slept 4 hours a night for the past week and a half, but it's been a ton of fun.
I mean, this is why we do this, to talk about it and analyze it and try to be right as much as possible and like trying to be in the predictive mode of it. I mean, it's what draws us to doing this, to having these hour-long podcasts that run into 12:06 Eastern time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll be honest. If we're not going to be right, let's have fun. And I'm having fun over here. I mean, it's just been an exciting time. And it's been a blast.
All right. With that, shall we get out of here?
Yeah, we'll wrap things up. Come back for our regular Monday episode. We'll have a Monday live stream as well. And I assume at that point, L'Jarius Sneed will be a Steeler. And who knows what else will go on. But we'll keep you posted.
Whatever happens, we'll talk about it. So in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter /X at Steelers Depot. Follow Alex at Alex_Cazorro. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do and want to donate to the cause, SteelersDepot.com. Hit the donate button up right, navigational bar. Also, if you'd like an ad-free version of the site, SteelersDepot.com. Hit the ad-free button up right. Upright navigational bar and follow the directions that way. Thank you so much for all the readership on the site and the listenership on the podcast. It's been out of this world, and that's why we do it. We hope we give you great content to consume at its core there. So we just appreciate everybody for reading and listening. That means a lot to us, and it makes all this even that much more worthwhile for us doing. So until next time, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Alex.